Hey guys, me Sam Stein, managing editor at the Bulwark. I'm here with my bud Tim Miller. Breaking news tonight that we wanted to respond to. Jimmy Kimmel, late night host on ABC, is being taken off the air for the foreseeable future. No end date in sight. I mean, if we're being real, it's probably the end of his show. What started as a campaign to get him in trouble from Brendan Carr, who is the chair of the FCC, turned into an actual reprimand, first from Nexstar, which is a broadcast licensor, and then from Disney itself, which pulled him off. And we are in a situation now where basically one of the more prominent late night hosts and entertainers and comedians in the country has been, taken off the air. It's just, it is what it is. And I've seen a lot of people online being like, well, you know, he did it because he said something factually inaccurate and insensitive about, you're laughing, about Charlie Kirk's death. And I saw the comment and
we can show the video of the comment. Let's get the comment. I just want to say the biggest picture before we get in. Because in this case, actually, this is, goes against the usual policy of the Bulwark and Bulwark YouTube. In this case, the facts kind of don't matter. Like the facts, like we should get into about whether he was correct and whether
some
the joke
facts
was appropriate.
Matter, but some here don't. Yes.
Yeah, but I like agree. In this case, like what matters is the fact that, as you said, the federal government threatened and pressured private companies to silence someone's speech, and they did.
And they
so
did.
Like, so,
and
so
not just of, someone, a huge corporation, the Disney yeah. Corporation, was like, yeah, we don't want to deal with this shit. And so yeah. they did it.
And so they go did ahead. It. So like speech was silenced by threats from the government. And in that construct, like if you're a person that believes in free speech, like we do here at the Bulwark, like you are against that even if the speech was wrong or noxious or whatever. Right. So anyway, we can get into all the details. But I think that's like that said. Is the headline. And can I just say one more thing before we play the clip? Because we do care about free speech here at the Bulwark, because nobody's going to get fired. You should probably subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe to the Bulwark.
I was going to give the pitch later on, but yes, now more than ever, subscribe to the fucking Bulwark, people, where we don't deal with this shit. Okay. Anyways, let's play what Kimmel said, which started this whole hubbub, and you can decide for yourself if this was a fireable offense. Here it goes.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks? They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition. Construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend. This is how a four-year-old mourns a goldfish.
All right. So, look, if you read the text, he says that MAGA right is trying to portray the Charlie Kirk assassin as anyone other than coming from MAGA. Yeah. We now know that Tyler Robinson was not a griper, wasn't MAGA. Likely, according to these text chains, was compelled to commit this heinous crime because he's in a romantic relationship with someone who's transitioning and found Charlie Kirk's anti-trans rhetoric horrifying. It's awful. No one should defend it, and we should be honest about his apparent motivations. Kimmel got that wrong.
But kind of did he?
That's a good point. Like, there's a way to think about it where he's just saying, yeah, they're trying to deflect whatever blame could be put on them.
Yeah, this is not – look, and anybody who's been watching the channel knows that I've been very meticulous about this and do not broker any – you know, sympathy for people who are out there trying to be like, well, I don't know, maybe this is a false flag and maybe it's the Jews and maybe it is MAGA. It's like, it's pretty clear what this is. But like, this was two nights ago. This was Monday night. So the text hadn't come out yet. And what he is saying here is that the MAGA gang is desperately trying to characterize the kid as anything other than one of them. So anyway, so there's two things. One, it's a joke. It's in the construct of a joke. I want to get to later what Jimmy Kimmel gave a serious monologue about this. So I want to get to in a second, like where he's being straightforward. But so this is a joke. The kind of the joke is about how MAGA is out there being super desperate to, you know, try to use this to their political advantage. And then he goes on to show a clip of Trump. You know, and so like, and that was kind of what was happening.
It was what was happening. And Will Sommer was following this because we were trying to figure out how the MAGA movement was responding to this in real time. And it's factually true that people like Dick Fuentes, maybe not MAGA, but MAGA adjacent, were like, we denounce violence. He's not one of us. They were moving expeditiously to try to distance themselves from the possibility that this guy could have been bred in their, you know, ideological corner. So it's not totally factually inaccurate. And I should have said that up front. You mentioned that he did actually have a serious element to his monologue. Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah. So that was in the show right after the death. The alleged offense here, this joke.
That was mine.
You know, again, which is like, I think borderline on what you want to call it. Last week, he did a monologue in the show right after Kirk's assassination.
We're like the rest of the country. We're still trying to wrap our heads around the senseless murder of the popular podcaster and conservative activist Charlie Kirk yesterday, whose death has amplified our anger, our differences. And I've seen a lot of extraordinarily vile responses to this from both sides of the political spectrum. Some people are cheering this, which is something I won't ever understand. And we had another school shooting yesterday in Colorado, the 100th one of the year. And with all these terrible things happening, you would think that our president would at least make an attempt to bring us together. But he didn't. President Obama did. President Biden did. Presidents Bush and Clinton did. President Trump did not. Instead, he blamed Democrats for their rhetoric.
I've seen a lot of extraordinarily vile responses to this from both sides of the political spectrum. Some people are cheering this, which is something I won't ever understand. We had another school shooting in Colorado yesterday, the 100th one of the year. With all these terrible things happening, you would think that the president would at least make an attempt to bring us together, but he didn't. So like that, you know, if the accusation, and again, as I said at the stop, no, he should not be removed from the air by threat from the government, even if he was cheering assassination or something. I don't know. I mean, Bill Maher, remember when he got kicked out of Politically Incorrect for saying, I forget what it was, but, insensitive stuff, a terrorist attack. Like, that shouldn't happen in this country. And it definitely shouldn't happen because of government pressure. But, like, that is not – like, Jimmy Kimmel was not one of these, fire-breathing leftists who were saying, you know, who were cheering Kirk. He just wasn't. He did the opposite. He specifically condemned people cheering the attack. He specifically said he would and it's something that he doesn't understand how someone could do that. So, like, I mean, he was again, it's like if he was irresponsible, this would still be bad, but he wasn't. He was responsible and he told the joke that was like a little kind of borderline. Like that's it. That's all that happened.
Of course. We're sort of dancing around this because it's all pretextual, right? It's like Donald Trump hates Jimmy Kimmel.
The word of the week, kind of pretextual. Yeah, everyone loves saying pretextual now.
Makes you sound a little smart, I guess.
Yeah, I know. And everything is pretextual, so it's accurate. It's just kind of the hot word of the week.
I will stop using it.
No, so it's fine. Donald Trump. Sarah used it like 12 times on the Next Level podcast today, and she was right every time. I'm just noticing that word is in vogue.
All right, well, this is pretextual.
Don't worry
about it. Donald Trump hates Jimmy Kimmel. Donald Trump said sometime in like July or something that Jimmy Kimmel was next after what happened with Stephen Colbert.
Fallon has no talent. Kimmel has no talent. They're next. They're going to be going. I hear they're going to be going. I don't know, but I would imagine because they get Colbert has better ratings than Kimmel or Fallon. You know that.
Donald Trump has long tweeted or posted, mocking and going after Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel really doesn't like Donald Trump. And the idea here that they had something to go on to get Jimmy Kimmel thrown off the air was obvious because Brendan Carr, who is the chair of the FCC, went on Benny Johnson's show and basically laid out the exact path for how this was going to transpire. We have the video, so let's play the video of him on Benny Johnson.
You know, when you look at the conduct that has taken place by Jimmy Kimmel, it appears to be some of the sickest conduct possible As you've indicated, there are, you know, avenues here for the FCC. So there are some ways in which I need to be a little bit careful, because we could be called ultimately to be a judge on some of these claims that come up. But I don't think this is an isolated incident. I mean, obviously, look, there's calls for Kimmel to be fired. I think, you know, you could certainly see a path forward for suspension over this. And again, you know, the FCC is going to have remedies that we could look at. Disney needs to see some change here. But the individual licensed stations that are taking their content, it's time for them to step up and say, this, you know, garbage, to the extent that that's what comes down the pipe in the future, isn't something that we think serves the needs of our local communities. But this sort of status quo is obviously not acceptable where we are.
And this is the part here, like, to your point about how they lay out the exact path.
It's the exact path. It is the exact path.
Yeah. He says, here's the quote. Disney needs to see some change here, but the individual licensed stations that are taking their content, it's time for them to step up and say this.
Wink, wink. You
know, garbage. And then that happened. And then the stations, and so for people who don't get this, obviously, so ABC is the parent company. And then you have these companies that own, like, the local ABCs in your local market. So Nexstar, which owns a bunch of these local stations, is shocking. Are you ready for this? Trying to merge with another big
local $6.2 billion deal with Tegna that they need approved by the FCC.
Donald Trump and Brendan Carr. Yeah. So these guys are out there. They want to merge. They want to make their company bigger. They need approval from the government. You have the FCC, the person that is in charge of the approvals, out there saying, hey, guys, you shouldn't be accepting this. You shouldn't be platforming this wrong think, you know, by a comedian that is an enemy of the regime. And they just went out there and did it. It happened in 3 hours. Like Brendan Carr said this, Nexstar pulled it, and then Disney, you know, basically folded.
Suspended him.
Yeah.
And then the last part is, of course, Brendan Carr takes the victory lap by sending GIFs of Michael Scott, you know, doing the raise the roof to Bren Stelter. You know, and I know he's just doing it to provoke a response. He's like a big child. It's all fun for them. They love seeing people freak out. I'm sure they like watching the reaction online to this shit because they get a hard on over it. But it's just like, you know, these people, I would like to think, know that they shouldn't be doing this, that this is bad. And the other thing that pisses me off, though, is a lot of conservatives online who are just like trying to make some sort of like rationalization for why this is fine, even though they know that this is deeply, deeply problematic. Oh, well, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, he said defensive things, and you know, there's no obligation for anyone to, you know, air misinformation. We have to like clean our airways of this filth. It's like, fuck off. Just be honest about it.
I'll fucking argue.
This is great. I wasn't gonna say anything because I have whatever.
Liberals want to make this firing about quote unquote free speech.
Yeah. What else did he say? Keep reading, because it's great.
I'm going to keep reading in a second. But I just want to be like, liberals, by the way, I thought for a while we all lived in a liberal democracy. Yeah, people who believe in liberal ideals do believe in free speech. That's true. I don't know why free speech is in scare quotes. They want to make this about free speech. He goes, did it ever occur to them the issue might be accuracy?
Yeah.
It's false propaganda like this. It's harming our country. It's just like, what? Ari Fleischer, like, if the roles were reversed, if Joe Biden's FCC had kicked everybody off the air who had said that Donald Trump won the 2020 election when he lost it, Fox wouldn't have enough bodies to go on TV to fill 24 hours anymore. Because basically every Donald Trump supporter advanced that lie. And two, I don't think that the conservatives would have been like, well, you know, if you're inaccurate, free speech doesn't apply anymore. Okay, this is about accuracy, not free speech. So I stand with the Biden FCC. I like the whole thing it's a fucking.
I'll say it because I'm salty right now, and with great respect to Bill Kristol and the others at the Bulwark who were there pre-Iraq War. I don't need lectures from Ari Fleischer on accuracy. I just don't. I don't. I got to be honest about that.
Oh, what are you implying? Well, you think that Ari Fleischer was lying on behalf of the Bush administration?
People can read between the lines about that one.
You think Ari was lying on behalf of the Bush administration? No, interesting. What topic are you thinking? Do you have a topic in mind in particular?
They were, you know, something to do with weapons and mass destruction. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just such a joke. It's so offensive. It's just like, it's pathetic and it's transparent. It's all, JVL wrote about this. You know how he said subscribe to the Bulwark? If you want JVL's newsletter, best newsletter in the business, you got to subscribe to Bulwark Plus. Go to thebulwark.com and subscribe. he literally wrote this week a newsletter that was like, it's all about, it's about power politics all the way down. And that's really what this is. This is the evidence of that. There is no even conceit that they care about speech anymore. There's no limiting principle.
Yeah. There's no limiting principle.
And there's no even conceit that this is about some other broader ideal or law or rule that they.
The idea that you would shame them by saying, oh, well, weren't you guys like just warning about the death of comedy and comedy's not legal, which is what Elon did?
The left wanted to make comedy illegal, you know? Yeah. Like, you can't make fun of anything. So then it was like, comedy sucks. It's like, nothing's funny. You can't make fun of anything. It's like, legalize comedy.
And weren't you the ones who like were so worried about wokeness, like going after people who said like hateful things and that people should be fined, saying like they're not shameable by pointing at the hypocrisy. And in fact, it's much worse because at this point, it's not just the online mob who's like going after people. This is the sanctioned campaign targeting giant corporations by the president and his henchmen at the FCC. That's what this is. I mean, let's just be honest about it. So Dark place I'm in.
Yeah, they don't care. And this is a good point. And it's like, it's kind of like, it's frustrating to even bring up the hypocrisy because it's very clear now. Shit. Right.
Oh, you got me.
Look, that it's like, they were upset that it was their guys that were getting fired for tweeting racist stuff. Simple as that, right? Like that was it. That was what they're upset about cancel culture, that it was fellow travelers, as allies that were suffering consequences for their actions. And in this case, it's like, they want to inflict that punishment on other people. That's what soft fascism is. Like, they want to inflict that punishment on outgroups and on foes, and they're doing it right now. And like you said, it is extremely jarring because it's coming sanctioned from the government and not just from the FCC. I have a breaking news thing that I need to share with you, Sam. Additional breaking news since we've started taping. Donald Trump has issued a statement about this. The president of these United States. Great news for America. Jimmy Kimmel's show is canceled. He goes on and on, etc. I don't want to dignify the rest of that by reading it, but like, again, it's the president's team pressuring the company to fire somebody for unapproved speech. He gets fired. They're cheering it. It's straight out of an authoritarian playbook. Yeah.
Let me just close. I want to close by saying we've said twice to subscribe to the Bulwark, not in jest, although it might have come across as in jest. Let me just say, because I do mean this with all my like being, that now more than ever, there's like very few publications that have the type of editorial independence and editorial mission that is needed in this moment to actually do the type of journalism that is required in this moment. And look, we're not ABC, we're not Disney, we're not Jimmy Kimmel. I'm not saying we're there to replace what he's going to no longer be able to provide, but it's important to support operations like ours because this is what we got, folks, in the media. This is it. And so if you have the desire to support our mission, if you're interested in it, you can subscribe to our YouTube feed where this is going to be. But you can also subscribe to thebulwark.com/subscribe. There's a whole number of membership plans there that you can choose from. We appreciate any support. We really do. Our work depends on people like you subscribing and paying for it. And we pledge to continue doing what we're doing with your help. So with that, buddy, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We're doing too many of these dark commentary breaking news stories, but
I don't think it's going to change. So you might as well not lament it. I'm not expecting some breaking happy news reports next week, you know, coming around the corner.
Who replaces Kimmel? My polymarket bet is on Mike Lindell. I got long shot odds.
I don't know. If I'm Disney, I'm just shutting it down. Probably shut it down. Saving the cash, putting on a reruns.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later, bud. See you, man.